Well, in 1992, the Banner of Truth published a book about four Americans who had unusually powerful Christian witnesses. So tonight, let's see what we can learn from the first story in the book, a man called Daniel Baker, born in Georgia in 1791. His mother died when he was an infant, and his father died when he was eight. So an aunt and an older sister looked after him. He stayed outwardly religious until he was 14, although he knew all the time that he was far from God. And then one day, when he was 14, he had a lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and the Holy Spirit started to work in him. For some months he was very confused, very unhappy, and very distressed. And in his distress, he cried out to Christ to be his Saviour and to forgive his sins. And immediately he experienced a great joy, and almost as immediately a desire to preach the gospel. Age 20, we find him training for the ministry and secretly copying out Jonathan Edwards' idea of spiritual resolutions. One of Daniel Baker's says, "Resolved that I will frequently pray to Almighty God to point out my vices and follies and give me grace to turn from them." While he was finishing off his education, he had some thrilling experiences of Christ's nearness. Here's some words from his diary. "How empty and insignificant are all earthly enjoyments when compared with the enjoyment of a reconciled God and Saviour. How wonderful that God should have called me the ungrateful rebel. It was free sovereign grace. Lord, from now on, may I live unreservedly for Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me." So at 24, the new gospel minister started to preach regularly, and immediately people were converted, and it took him by surprise. Later on, he would not be surprised. His marriage, which took place in 1816, lasted 42 years. His wife quickly learned that his preferred lifestyle was that of an itinerant evangelist. When he was 27, he took a pastorate, but he insisted on itinerant preaching, although he did successfully keep doing his church duties. Here's something fairly typical that happened to him while he was preaching at that time. He'd received an invitation to preach one sermon in the open air. After the final blessing, the people shouted out, would you believe it, for a second sermon. He saw there were tears in the eyes of people to whom he'd just been preaching, so he preached a second sermon. When he'd said the blessing, they still didn't move, even though the rain had come on. So he preached a third sermon, and only then would they disperse. At 30, he was a minister of a Presbyterian church in Washington. And it was this time he wrote a book which was called A Scriptural View of Baptism, which, as you might expect, takes the Westminster point of view. But he was far too spiritual a Christian ever to write anything other than with love for all the brethren. And like Spurgeon, he was a man who expected conversions. So when he was 39, and he realized that 6 months had gone by and nobody had been converted under his ministry, he spent a day alone in a graveyard doing nothing more than praying and fasting and pleading with God for new help. From then on, we're back to the usual accounts of multiplied conversions to Christ. He noticed at that time a large population movement to the largely uninhabited Texas, and he took a cut in stipend in order to go as an itinerant preacher into Texas. Both his sons had become ministers, and one wrote a memoir of his father. And this records a preaching appointment in Texas where the host minister was very discouraged because the rain had started to come just before the open air service was due to start. And Baker said to the host minister, "My dear brother, the clouds are in good hands. Don't worry about them." And he started to preach. 40 people were converted in that service. And the son wrote, "My father believed that the finger of God was in every event, including the weather." You see, Baker was a five-point Calvinist. And as I have often emphasized here, fervent evangelism and the doctrines of grace go together, or should do. At another place in Texas, he records he experienced Pentecost in miniature. And at another service, his angina troubled him so badly that he had to sit down while he preached to 800 people. Still, revival-like scenes were the common response to his gospel offers. And it remained like that until he died at 66 in 1857. What on earth can people like us learn from an American of his type? Well, first, the younger people could notice that he became a real believer when he was 14. Nobody has any authority for calling on you to be a Christian at any particular age. The only time that God recognizes is now. And by the way, that's this moment and not later on. Students and their like should notice that when he was a young Christian, Baker was very tempted to give up the practice of the Christian faith, and he was tempted to go with those he calls the sons of the bottle. Pubs and clubs, I suggest to you, will hinder you. So will the lottery, I might add. And those of you who do any form of work for Christ should note that you are not required to spend a day in a graveyard to find some quiet, but there is some mysterious link between serious times of prayer and fasting and knowing the power of God. You see, it is possible to be very active and very useless. And the oldest people present can take real encouragement from these last words. Do you know that Baker was keener for Christ in the final 7 years of his life than he was at any point earlier, and he knew more blessing in those final 7 years than he had done earlier? So as we all go into 1996, perhaps we could do a lot worse than write out some of those secret spiritual resolutions and keep them.